Welcome to Fables of the Force,
a Star Wars rewatch podcast.
I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And this is our show.
Welcome everyone to episode 118. We'll be discussing Voices, the second of a four-part arc, the final arc of season 6 of the Clone Wars. This episode originally aired as the 11th episode of season 6.
Jedi Mystery.
I should say, the first line of the episode is spoken by none other than Qui-Gon Jinn, as voiced by Liam Neeson. Fortune cookie at the beginning is, madness can sometimes be the path to truth. In this particular case, what seems like madness does somewhat lead the Jedi towards some truths.
Yeah, it'd be hard to say anything other than Yoda goes on like a drug trip in this episode.
Essentially, yeah, he gets pretty deep in the Force here.
Yeah.
I like this episode for a whole bunch of reasons. One of them is how often we hear things that contradict other things.
Mm-hmm.
This goes kind of deeply into Jedi dogma, right? They have this tendency to lean into what they know and have sort of forgotten how much they don't know. And that is arrogant. That is self-importance.
Mm-hmm.
They've forgotten that what they don't know is far greater than what they do know. And so to say, oh, well, that's not possible, because when you pass on into the cosmic force, you don't retain sense of self. That's not how it works. We know that. How do you know that? Well, because we've never had an example of it not being that way. Oh, so because it always has been, it always will be?
Mm-hmm.
That's some real stupid logic.
I agree. I just agree, but I do think, I try to put myself in Yoda's shoes.
Oh, I totally understand where he's coming from here.
He just realized that he might be immortal.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a pretty big, I think it is a pretty specific boundary. Ki-Adi-Mundi speaks the same way about it. Everything we've known. You know, presumably there's been people that have looked into this before Qui-Gon Jinn.
Sure.
Right? And I'm sure they've come up empty-handed, or so it would seem.
Well, and he talks too about how he was chosen and how there was training and his wasn't complete.
Yes.
So there's more to this, and obviously we've seen the other episodes before, but I don't recall them specifically enough to remember how much more deeply we get into that portion of the mythology. But certainly, it seems at least that in certain circumstances, the Force on the whole, whether it's the cosmic force or the, I don't know, seems to continue to find ways to create balance, you know? And in some ways, maybe this feeds into and factors into the idea that we talk about a whole bunch in The Rise of Skywalker, where Rey's like, you know, a thousand generations of Jedi live in you now. I am all the Jedi. And we know that the Sith did something similar. I am all the Sith. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that this dive into some of the mythology is really awesome, and the way they handle it by sort of letting this vehicle of like, is Yoda losing his mind? Or is or worse, is he being manipulated by the Sith?
Yeah, which is Ki-Adi-Mundi's take.
Which is Mace's potential take, too. The idea that what if, I mean, who better, right, to attack in the Jedi Council than its leader? Yeah.
They've never seen him like this,
right,
is what they keep saying.
Nobody has seen him like this. So it's very concerning for everyone.
Yeah.
Even Anakin's like, I don't like this.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
The episode.
Right, the episode.
Because the whole thing is just like this looming sense of impending dread.
I really liked how often Ki-Adi-Mundi spoke in this episode as well. Like for the most part, he had a lot of really good stuff to say. He says early in the episode, I'm not sure that the council is admitting how grave a situation we're in. He's the one, like you said, that sort of posits that, what if the Sith could be behind this? This could be an attack by our enemy.
There's a beautiful scene, I think, Yoda and young Skywalker in conversation. It's really kind of a beautiful scene. They're out on the temple grounds. Anakin's surprised to see that Yoda, the master, is kind of stumped and he can't figure something out. And teacher is now the student. And the student is still a student too. But it is kind of a sweet moment between them being kind of vulnerable and figuring something out together.
Yeah.
And ultimately leads Yoda to understanding, like, well, what about what they don't know?
Yeah.
We don't know.
So everything that we know of the Force, but what about the parts that we don't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is an idea that, speaking of Ki-Adi-Mundi, later in the episode, you know, he's very adamant. The dead become part of the cosmic force. Mm-hmm. End of story. That's what it says.
Right.
You know, Anakin says there's more to learn. Ki-Adi-Mundi doesn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionalist.
Right. I also found it really interesting that the question that was raised at the end of episode one, The Phantom Menace, is asked again here. Who is the master? Who is the apprentice? If Dooku is Tyrannus, if Dooku is a Sith, mm-hmm. one Sith died in episode one, Darth Maul. So they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the question. Who died? The master or the apprentice? Nobody knows. Now they discover that Tyrannus is Dooku. Is he the master or is he the apprentice? They still don't know. And there's still that bias. They think that he's the apprentice. I think because they don't want to assume he could be.
Well, at least that's the correct assumption.
Yeah, at least they're right. But I think that the reasoning behind why they think that is flawed and suspect. Yoda seems super paralyzed with indecision here. He seems almost only willing or able to just kind of wait things out, despite the fact that he's obviously gets the gravity of the situation. I mean, he knows how bad things are. I think that's what drives him to take this ultimate risk in the deprivation chamber. I really do like the idea that Sheev could be using Dooku's connection to Master Yoda to attack Yoda. I think that's a really... Of course he would try and do that. Why wouldn't he? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, just creating the seed is enough more than anything.
Yeah.
But it's just an interesting thought because, yeah, they do. Of course they have a connection. They were Master Apprentice.
Yeah.
And now Sidious and Dooku are Master Apprentice. So there's a connection there for sure.
Obi-Wan says, you can't blame a master for what their apprentice does.
Weird. That almost sounds like the voice of experience.
Yeah, and I hope for his sake that he maintains that mentality.
I hope so, too.
But, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to say. Like, where did Luminara Unduli go wrong? Where did Yoda go wrong?
Right.
Where does Luke Skywalker go wrong? You know, who's to blame? So Yoda takes a sensory deprivation dive to get some drug-induced meditation and goes on this wild trip where he talks to the dead.
I like Qui-Gon's admonition to Yoda before he goes into the tree cave. It's so much better, in my opinion, than what Yoda gives Luke. Qui-Gon says, "Be wary. Give power to that which you fear, and it will show itself to you." Yoda says to Luke, when Luke says, "What's in there?" Yoda says, "Only what you take with you." Which is a great line.
True.
And very true.
Sure.
But also metaphorical.
Vague.
And like, vague. Like, if he'd have just said, "If you give in to your fears, that's what will manifest." If that's what he would have said, it would have made more sense to Luke when he was going in. But instead, Luke looked at him like, "Okay, Yoda,
okay,
that would have too." All right, so if I take some snack bars, will I find more snack bars, Yoda? Is that what you want me to do? You know, I don't know. I just, it's a great way to express it by Qui-Gon Jinn, and I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And so Yoda, on his trip, he's surrounded by this darkness for a while, and then suddenly he sees the attack on Geonosis replayed, and at least it so looks like, and then it's the clones that the Jedi are fighting, and then it's the clones taking out the Jedi, and then it's the Jedi getting taken out by Sidious.
And the reveal of Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
And I think we now know who the master is.
Yeah. And yeah, we see the future, and mm-hmm. we get the question of, is there hope?
There's always hope.
There's always hope. I've been tasked, says Qui-Gon Jinn, I've been tasked with guiding you forward. You have been chosen, as I was before you, to learn to preserve your life force and so manifest a consciousness to commune after death. Dark times are ahead, and forces of light must remain. This is the path of only a few Jedi. I thought this was all just so interesting.
Yeah.
What coalition of is this that Qui-Gon is a part of and didn't complete his training in?
Right. Who does that mean that the Force has some sort of sentience? Or are there people within the Force?
I know somebody must have learned.
We're going to start seeing more of that in the next episode.
Yeah. I will say that while watching these final arcs of the Clone Wars with the clones and the revealing of the Sith plot and really getting into the episode 3 stuff, that this really felt like George Lucas's.
Yeah.
It was very clear that there was something a lot like this planned pretty much like this when episode 2 was written.
Yeah.
I do think it's one of those funny things about the movies that the best thing maybe to come out of the prequels are the Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars is at the top of most people's love for Star Wars at this point. Of all ages of fandom. So many people either grew up with Clone Wars and that's why they love it, or like me, grew up watching Star Wars from the beginning and struggled a little bit during the prequel era because it wasn't what we expected in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And then the Clone Wars provided something, and as we talked about before, I hated it when it came out. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, yeah, to me, it's some of the best Star Wars, easily.
Even this whole story that is interesting and captivating and is about the fall of the Jedi and the creation of the Clone Army and all of these things is like only hinted at in episode 2.
Right.
Master Sifo Dyas ordered the Clone Army.
Right.
It's basically all that happened.
Yeah.
Master Sifo Dyas.
Yeah. Who?
Some guy from 20 years ago?
Master Yoda, did the Jedi Master Sifo Dyas order the creation of a Clone Army?
Yeah. And then we're thrust into the action, and then the Clone Army shows up,
boom,
and we're embroiled in the war.
War. Yeah.
This is a fascinating story that is very deep and layered, and there are many moving parts
so
and a lot of different things.
Many.
And it's just kind of like this passing
mention.
Plot point.
And it came from the mention that Obi-Wan said in episode 4, A New Hope.
Star Wars ought to be seen for all of the potential amazing stories that it has to tell, as opposed to taking issue with the things that you don't care for necessarily.
There's just no point in spending time focusing on those things.
Yeah.
I feel like if it really gets your rocks off to focus on all the negative stuff,
be a Marvel fan.
Go do it somewhere else.
You can find it on fablesoftheforce.com, at Force Fables on Twitter, at Fables of the Force on Instagram, or wherever you can search
for podcasts.
Your pods.
Wherever you cast pods from, you can do it. So in our next episode, we'll talk about episode 119, episode 612, Destiny, the third of four, as we wrap up our rewatch of the Clone Wars.
With a bang.
Original six seasons. Until then, I've been Matt.
I'm Scott.
And may the Force be with you.